The season. What defines the hunting season to you? It can be a multitude of things to each individual hunter. Maybe to you, it's about putting meat in your freezer. For some, it might be more about chasing big mature bucks and the successes and failures that go along with those hunts. For others, it might be dropping a bull elk, moose, or many of the other species this great country, God's country, has to offer us. Maybe you took a child hunting and watched them be successful harvesting a whitetail or other animal and saw the thrill and joy that moment brought them. It's what separates us, but at the same time, keeps us bonded together as the great conservationists we are. It's our passion. It's our tradition. It's the season brought to you by Backwoods Bowhunter.
It's the mystical flight of the arrow traveling downrange, searching for its next target. The thrill of chasing the elusive whitetail buck as it slips through the tall oaks. That encounter with a bull elk that is so close, you can feel its breath. The hair that stands up on your neck when you hear that long-bearded turkey gobble in the spring. It's our passion. It's our tradition. It's Backwoods Bowhunter. And now, it's time to go full draw in the backwoods.
It is the season brought to you by Backwoods Bowhunter.
Yeah.
We are fully involved in the season.
Oh, we're in it.
3 weeks into it now.
Yep.
For those of us who don't live in Kentucky and didn't have an extra month.
Yeah.
The idea behind the season, also we call it Rutpalooza when we get into November.
Nut too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Is giving those hunting updates, posting more content, talking about the realism involved in us out there on the grind, man. Getting after it, doing our thing.
Get her done.
And occasionally making fun of ourselves and some of the dumb stunts that we pull that lead to unsuccessful hunts. We'll say that.
Yeah. Hey, we're not above making fun of ourselves.
No, absolutely not. Mm-mm. No. We both deserve that and more. Tell me about your season. I mean, since we've last recorded, you've hunted a couple times since then, right? At least once, because you just mentioned it a minute ago.
Yeah. No, I was out all weekend. Mm-hmm. Well, I didn't go out at night. Yesterday, I was too busy cooking to go out at night, but I did go out Saturday morning and Sunday morning.
Yeah, you cooked, what'd you tell me?
Smoked?
Bologna.
A bologna.
There you go.
Yep.
Nothing wrong with that.
No. And I made this honey mustard sauce. Oh, my God, was it good. So I made more of it. I'm going to bring it to work tomorrow.
Sweet.
Mm-hmm. Really delicious. But anyway, on the deer thing.
Yep.
I went out Saturday morning, actually, by myself. No kids, no nobody, just me.
Where'd you go?
I went to my parents' house because the road that leads to Thompsonville, they keep working on the damn thing, and it's shut down on the weekends.
Oh, wow.
So I have to drive all the way around. Basically all the way to Macedonia, all the way across, and then backtrack to the stand. So it's just not worth it. So I was going out there, and I hunted my favorite stand ever for the first time for the year on Saturday morning, and still love it. Had a couple come in. No shots were taken, but... Also, it's a long haul to get to where you can pick it up with a 4x4 or with side by side out there. So when I'm up by myself, it definitely makes me reconsider that shot. It's got to be pretty special.
Yeah.
Because I am not dragging that sumbitch by myself.
Were you somewhere that I would know?
Well, yeah. I was with the same stand that I was hunting when me and you went out the first time, I think, when you were at that. The boar's nest right there by the old pig pen.
Yeah.
And you go down that path a little ways and...
Well, I don't think that was the first time, but...
No, it was one of the times.
Yeah.
But yeah, you hunted there. I hunted that next stand over. Yeah. That's where I went. But now there's a tree laying across, so you can't take the side-by-side any further than where you were at, the boar's nest there. You can't go any further because there's a tree down. And then after you go underneath that one and you start walking towards the next stand, there's another tree down there. So now you got to cross the creek and walk backside to get to the other stand. It's just big trees. It's a lot of chainsawing going to be happening.
Are they ash trees by chance?
I don't know, but they're big.
Dude, I have nothing but dead ash trees everywhere out here. And yeah. I know the emerald ash borer beetle is destroying all these ash trees all over the place. And then I just read, I want to say it was Michigan. Michigan, Wisconsin, one of those states up there. I want to say Michigan. Just put out a big article. Their DNR just put out a big article. Words are tough, man.
They're not easy.
They just put out a big article about warning hunters to please not set up your tree stands in ash trees because these beetles are just destroying these damn things.
Wow.
And they're weak, and things are going to be breaking apart and falling down, and, you know, obviously they don't want to get people hurt, you know.
Yeah.
Just the difference between, I haven't brought this up on a podcast yet, but the difference between walking through my woods out here, through my timber, this year to last year, so much more shit down on the ground.
Mm-hmm.
Trees broken off, limbs broken off, things like that. I mean, it's cluttered with it. And you see my backyard out here all the time.
Yeah.
All these trees that are kind of to our south here used to all be super healthy and doing great, and now they're all dead and falling apart.
Yeah, that's...
You know, and that's just in my field, not talking about the woods.
Yeah.
It's a damn beetle. They're destroying the hell out of those ash trees, and every one of those are ash. All of them.
I'm not really a big guy on the knowing my trees, so when you come out there next time, you could let me know if that's an ash tree.
Okay.
Because it's definitely down, and it's a pain in the ass to get around.
Yeah.
But, yeah.
Well, you can fix that still.
Yeah. I just have to get a better chainsaw. I have a smaller one, and there's no way in hell I'm getting through them two trees with that small chainsaw. So I either need to get a bigger chainsaw or bunch of friends with chainsaws,
right?
And then we'll be good.
I do have a couple of commercial size chainsaws, so
then we're golden.
You have access.
I need you too.
So you said you had a couple deer. How'd that go? You just passed on them.
Saturday I passed on them, and Sunday I seen them actually because the first two came up from behind me, so they kind of caught me off guard anyway. And
man, they can do that, can't they?
Oh, yeah. And then Sunday, they were actually coming from the opposite way, so I seen them come in, but I thought the first one was a small buck, but I seen another one flash behind it. So I'm like, one of these might be a decent-sized buck, you know, the one behind it. So I grabbed my bow, and I kind of sat there for a minute, and the first one popped out, and she was a gigantic doe. And then the next one came up behind her was also a doe, but it was a little bit smaller than she was, but, I mean, she was gigantic. But by the time I decided, you know what, that one's worth dragging out of here, the other one kind of turned towards the stand and kind of stayed right there while the other one did her little catwalk around up there, giving me multiple opportunities to shoot, but I couldn't because the other one was basically facing the stand the whole time. Until she got turned around and got behind some thicker bush, the other one didn't even turn around. And then the other one finally turned around and followed her off.
You said thick bush.
I did say thick bush.
Yeah. Just want to make that known.
It wasn't in the good thick bush.
Yeah. So I had the opportunity to shoot a doe this week.
Yes, you did.
And got that done. Or can I break that down, or do you want to have more to say there? I'm sorry.
No, I'm good. Okay. Yeah. That was pretty much it.
So Wednesday morning. I went out Wednesday morning. So we've said for years, or at least the time that I've known you, and we've talked about it on this podcast, that this property here is not usually a morning property.
Yeah.
At all. It's more of an evening property. But I went out Wednesday morning, and there's a stand that I call Emerge. So it's on the east side of the property, and it's not far off of the east side food plot that I have.
Okay.
And I hunt that stand because there's a little travel corridor that I've created that they come out into that field to feed. So I went and hunted that spot, and I felt good about it. It was only a 4 mile per hour wind, so not much wind to have to deal with.
No, it's been pretty nice.
It was 47 degrees, felt like 44. Okay. So I'm like, good crisp morning.
Yep.
The wind's not going to be that big of a deal. I know they've been feeding in that food plot in the mornings because I see them.
Yeah.
You know? So I'm like, that's going to be a good spot. So I go sit in that spot. And one of my downfalls was on the way to the stand. Now I'm getting out there. I want to say it was about 45 minutes before daylight.
Yeah. It's a good time.
I have a doe blowing at me on the way there. I'm like, are you shitting me?
Wow.
I mean, big time blowing at me. I mean, there was no mistaking that she was upset that I was walking pitch black at that, blowing at me. So I'm like, that might have just screwed up this whole hunt. I don't know. We'll see.
Yeah.
You know, so I get up in that stand. That whole morning, nothing. Didn't see a damn thing. Nothing came out to food. Nothing came out to feed in that food plot. That's what I'm trying to say. And just other than seeing the sunrise in the morning and seeing the woods wake up, I had nothing. You know, I got nothing.
Yeah.
Went back out that evening. So that evening we had some wind, but it was also 70 degrees. Mm-hmm. So we had a 14 mile per hour south wind. And shame on me, and I was pissed that night. We had a volleyball game that night, and my daughter did, and I was not in the right mindset because I know damn good and well. So I have a couple stands. You know, we've talked about this before where there's a couple stands that I really like to hunt out of, and I make a mistake sometimes out of hunting out of them too much.
Mm-hmm.
And you educate these damn deer where you're at. You know, yep. So I decided that these two stands of mine that are favorites of mine, I'm not hunting them until rut. I'm not stepping foot in them, and I haven't. So I'm trying to hunt these other stand locations that I have. And even though knowing the stand location that I was in, a 14 mile per hour south wind was not
ideal.
It wasn't the right place to be, but I went there anyway. I didn't think it all the way through, and I got blew up. So. And that, and I think we have this doe out here who's the smartest damn doe I've ever seen in my life. And I'm pretty confident she's the same doe I dealt with a couple nights in a row. And one that Elena dealt with last fall too, I believe. When you live on a property that you hunt on, you tend to learn which ones are which, you know. So this bitch is smart. And, you know, we all have this goal that we want to shoot mature bucks. But I'm not so certain that I wouldn't get more reward out of shooting her because she's that damn intelligent. So just outsmarting her would be like a win, you know?
Oh, yeah.
But anywho, 14 south and on a 70-degree evening at that, about 4:40 in the morning, that doe comes out into that food plot. And it didn't take long. I have the wrong wind. I readily admit it. Shouldn't have hunted there. But it didn't take long. Her nose is in the air. She realizes something ain't right. And when I see her, I'm thinking, mature doe.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to shoot that bitch if she gets close to me.
Yep.
You know? Now, she realized something wasn't right, and off she goes. And I'm like, damn it. You know, I mean,
it was a
golden opportunity, and it just didn't work out. And here's why I know she's smarter than everybody else, because that was at 4:40 by my notes here. And she had other does with her, too. I should say that. And, of course, when she blew out of there, she cleared the whole field. They all went with her.
Yeah.
At 5:45, so basically an hour later, there were six more in there. But the stand that I'm hunting isn't right on the food plot. It's the travel corridor leading to the food plot. So they have to be on that travel corridor for me to get a shot. And those six never
took the corridor back.
No. And the fact that the wind didn't change just tells me how good she is.
Yeah.
She's, am I boring you?
No, I'm, it was a long weekend.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. I'm all good though. I've been yawning all day at work. So
I got you.
Yeah.
Friday evening, I decided to move to the west food plot. That was the east food plot that I was hunting on there. 70 degrees, 13 miles per hour, northwest. Had a mature doe with three youngins. And I believe it's the same damn doe that rolled in there. Had her at 13 yards. I only know 13 yards because after she left, there was a clog of dirt laying there, yeah, almost exactly where she was standing, and I ranged it, and it was 13 yards. Perfect broadside. If you were to draw up, if you were teaching a kid, hey, this is the this is the angle you want to take a shot.
Yeah.
This is perfect broadside. This is exactly what you want. That's exactly what she was. Grab my bow. It's in my hand, and I don't get it quite full draw, but I get it almost full draw.
Yeah.
One of the youngins that was with her jumps like something spooks her.
Mm-hmm.
She almost does a damn flip. Stops in her tracks, but and it's not me. I'm convinced it wasn't me because they were looking off to my right, but behind me.
Yeah.
So not looking up at me, not looking directly in my direction. It was off to my right and looking backwards.
Mm-hmm.
That youngin is latched onto something. I don't know what it was, and I still don't know what it was. Big adult mature doe, then full broadside, turns herself where she's facing that exact direction. So the only shot that I have at her now is if I shoot her in the throat. I'm a full front-on shot. All right, so we've talked about this before. I shoot mechanicals. Now, if I were shooting a fixed blade, I'm confident enough in my shot that I feel like I can run it right through the front of her cavity and still get where I need to be in the vitals with a fixed blade, but I'm not that comfortable with a mechanical. Yeah, I'm trying to cut through all those, that rib cage and everything, the brisket. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm just not going to do that. So, but she's like locked directly at me almost, but to my right. And again, looking in the same place the younger doe is.
Yeah.
So I know it's not me. I feel 100% confident. It's nothing I have done. It's not my movement. It's not my smell. It's nothing like that. Whatever it was, I don't know. So after staring off in that direction and what felt like forever, because I'm like half-drawn bow. Mm-hmm.
That seems to add to the time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
She trots off to my right and tucks herself in behind this big-ass oak tree. So the only thing of her that I can see is her ass, basically.
Mm-hmm.
The youngins are still there. I mean, if I wanted to shoot one of the youngins, I could. But, I mean, I'm doing this for the meat, not for the thrill of shooting a doe, you know. So she stuck in behind that tree. And then it was about five, I don't remember when it was, five something. And she eventually just trots off into the timber. And I'm like, damn it. So be it. And I'm pretty confident it was the same doe from earlier. Yeah. So there goes that opportunity squandered.
Mm-hmm.
But the point of this is that food plot that they enter, where you were just talking about a minute ago back here, where there's six or seven deer standing back there right now, they usually come from their bedding area, which is over here, and they work their way into that food plot. Well, she didn't come from that direction that night. She came from the south. So I decided on Saturday's hunt that I was going to put my saddle up and go to the south side where they came rolling through and go up that way and try to catch them as they're coming into the food plot that way.
Yeah.
Which is what I did. So Friday evening, we had 70 degree weather, or Saturday, I mean, sorry. We had 79 degree weather, almost 80 degrees.
Yeah. It was warm.
And an 11 northwest. So at 4:55, I had five does come right through that area where I set up in that saddle. I mean, rolled right through there. And I picked out the most mature one, and it's not the doe that blew me up the other morning, and it's not the doe that tricked me that evening. It was a different one, because I know that because the doe was with her. The one that I wanted to shoot was with her. But there again, there was she wasn't spooked by me. She wasn't spooked by a smell or a presence, but there was just, I guess you could say she was, but there was just, you could just tell by body language on these damn animals that there was something about her she was not comfortable with.
Mm-hmm. I hate when they get that way.
And she would not fully engage into that food plot. She stayed right on the edge of the tree line, and I was in the tree line too, but not where she was at. You could just tell she wasn't good with it.
Yeah.
And so there was a bigger mature doe. You saw the picture. Who came out into that field and as I was on the edge of it in the saddle. And at 5:05-ish, I made a shot.
Yeah.
All right. So I knew a hitter. You have that thump. You know, you can hear that sound.
Oh, yeah.
I knew a hitter.
I love it.
She took off running, and in the past, when I've shot a deer, I'll see them run 40 yards-ish, maybe, and see them crash into the forest floor.
Okay.
Eat the dirt. I didn't see her eat the dirt. She took off running. Now, she was running zigzagged.
Yeah.
Almost like she was in a military battle, you know, trying to avoid being shot. So she's she's running all zigzag patterns, which was crazy. But she got into the timber, and I lost sight of her, didn't know where she went.
Yeah.
I have the luxury of having a deer tracking dog, so I'm like, I'm not even going to attempt to track her. I'll go get the dog. Plus, it's a good training session for her, you know. So, sorry to be long-winded here. I got down out of the tree, and I went and found the arrow. Beautiful red blood on it all the way through. Now, it had buried itself in the dirt, so it's an expandable broadhead, Grim Reaper. I don't know if it expanded upon impact on this doe or if it expanded upon impact when it hit the soil. Yeah. I'm not sure because it was buried in the dirt.
Yep.
So I pulled it out of the dirt, but it's covered in red. I know that much.
Yep. That's all you need to see.
Yeah. Go get the dog and take her out there, and it wasn't a problem. She led me right to her. She went about 100 yards and then crashed. So my shot was about 2, maybe 3 inches further back than what I thought it was, but it still just disintegrated that doe's lungs. When I opened her up to field dresser, her lungs were mush. And I'm not joking. I mean, I should have took a picture of it, and I didn't. Probably because I had, you know, blood on me. But
yeah, it's hard to hold your camera with blood on your hands.
But her lungs were mush. And I should say this. I never saw from the moment of the point of impact on the shot where I put my dog on it to the point that we discovered the carcass of the deer, I never saw a drop of blood anywhere.
Yeah.
Nowhere until there was a circle of blood about, I don't know, 6 inches in diameter, about 2 feet from her body.
Really?
That was the only blood I ever saw until we reached her. I think it was all internal. Every single bit of it was internal because her entire cavity was filled with blood.
Really?
But for whatever reason, it never came out of the body.
Yeah.
I don't know if you've ever seen that or not, but.
No, I told you about that.
The buck I mean, I've I seen that before on bad shots.
Yeah.
But I've not seen that before on good shots, you know. And then,
yeah. Well, I had a good shot on that buck last year. It was right through the, it actually took off the top part of the heart with the shot. When I pulled it out, the heart was ripped in half.
Yeah, right.
I remember. But that one, I didn't have any blood. Now, like I said, I only tracked a little ways, and I thought it was a clean miss until Todd had told me that something had fallen over there. And then we walked.
You're talking
up.
About the gun buck.
Yeah, the gun buck.
I thought you were talking about the one Emmy came out on.
No. Okay. No, that one we had pretty decent blood on.
Yeah, yeah.
But I wanted, you know, Emmy to come out, you know, because you were talking about wanting practice for her. So I figured, I heard it fall, but I figured, you know, you needed, you know, get Emmy out there and get her some successful hunts there, some successful tracks. But, yeah, there was no blood on that one. So that was the first time I ever seen it. And then you talking about that. I'm assuming that first pile of blood you had, she probably fell there.
Yeah.
And if it was internal, it probably poured out a little bit. She probably got up, took a couple steps, staggered, and fell again.
Yeah. That's the only thing I can come up with. And
because I can't see why it would just start 100 yards away.
It's just weird that, I agree. It's weird that where the arrow was at, just full of red. I mean, coated in it. And not like, it wasn't like liver red or guts red or meat red. I mean, it was a good, you could tell it was a good clean shot. But she didn't bleed anywhere but inside that cavity.
Yeah.
And trust me, I know. When I opened her up, it was like blood everywhere.
Yeah.
It was a massacre, you know. And her lungs were destroyed, you know. So, I mean, it was a good clean kill. It was just weird how she didn't bleed out anywhere else, you know.
Yeah.
No spraying out or anything. And it was probably 15-yard shot. I mean, it was a really close shot.
Yeah.
So it's hard to mess it up.
Hey, it happens to the best of us.
It does. It does. Mm-hmm. So nonetheless,
you got her done.
Got her done.
I went and picked mine up Saturday morning or Sunday morning.
Go in the book. Well, you know, they changed their hours on me, so
they did.
I keep a printout of their stuff in my barn. And I went in there and I looked on that printout, not thinking about it. It was last year's printout instead of this year's. But I went and looked and it said they close at 8 o'clock. I'm like, shoot, I'm golden. Because this was like 6. When I'm going out there to field dress, it was probably 6:30 at this point. 6:20, something like that. I'm like, it don't take me long to field dress. So I'll get her field dressed. I'll get her loaded up in the truck and head that way. I mean, no problem. I'll be there well before 8. Well, I got there at 7:15 just to learn that they've changed their hours to 7. They close at 7 now. So I'm like, shit.
Mm-hmm.
So I had to go put her in the little drop-off thing they have.
The freezer.
Cooler. Yeah.
Yeah. And I do like that little addition there, though.
I do, too. And
I prefer dropping it off to a human, but
I would have had all kinds of issues had I chose to, or had they not had that, and I would have had to deal with either, you know, cleaning it myself or trying to keep it cold or whatever the case may be.
But, yeah. It's not bad when it's, you know, 30-something degrees outside, 40-something degrees to just hang it for the night. But when it's 70 degrees, you ain't hanging that thing.
Yes.
I'd say by 6, it's probably in the 60s, but still, you're not, that meat ain't no good the next day.
No.
I don't think.
No. So they called the next morning and said, hey, how you want this dough cut up?
Yeah.
And all was good.
Nice. Very nice.
The only thing that aggravates me is I went to get my son and said, hey, help me load this dough up in my truck. And he said, and I'm ashamed to admit this, he said, no, that would gross me out. I'm like, damn it, boy.
Damn it, boy. Damn it, Bobby.
Why is my daughter, she would have field dressed it and helped me load it up.
Yep.
And he's trying to avoid it all. So he did go out with me on the track, but anywho.
Yeah.
That's story for another time.
Well, hey, listen, Jimmy goes and he is very icky with blood still.
Really?
Yeah, he'll go hunting with me and he helped me drag the deer out. He helped me load it in the back of the side by side and transfer it from the side by side to the truck. But he's very looking for blood and, you know, holding it like a little princess. But I mean, he'll do it. But he did say, the first deer he field dresses, he wants Todd there. That's his main thing. Because Mikey's first deer that he ever field dressed, I was at work.
Yeah.
And Todd and Zach were there. And, you know, we still have video from it. We'll have to watch that this week.
I have seen some video.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
I have seen it.
So Jimmy just wants Todd to be there for that, for his first one. So I said, we are killing something that weekend. And Jimmy's field dressing it.
Oh, that could be fun.
Now, I will open it, you know what I mean? Because I don't know if I trust him opening it up without butchering everything right there and popping the shit sack right off bat. But he's pulling it out.
If educated while he's doing it, he could be all right.
Maybe.
Yeah.
Mikey was educated while doing it, and it was a rough shot.
Okay.
So we'll have to play that one by ear. But so I went and bought him his bitch mittens for him to field dress it. Because he's going to need gloves like Mikey, the ones that come up to his elbow or up to his shoulders.
Now, for the record, I do have two cuts there, a cut there, and a cut there. So I did wear gloves. Now, I didn't wear the ones up to the shoulders, but I did have gloves on when I filled this mine.
But is that a priority for you every time?
No.
Okay.
But
that's all. That's,
if I have open cuts, I'm not.
Yeah.
I'm not.
You don't want to get the deer aids.
I'm not messing around with that.
Yeah, I wouldn't get deer aids. You don't know where that deer's been.
It's just not worth it.
Nope.
Cool. So that's the story. I shot a doe. I'm on the board.
Hell yeah.
Got a doe coming in the freezer whenever they're done. And
hell yeah. Right now, me, you, and Todd all got one.
I'm going to take a few days off because I'm really not too worried about anything until we get closer to Halloween and things actually start to pick up a little bit. So
I'll definitely be out this weekend, though. They're talking about 30-something degrees, I think, Saturday or Sunday morning, like 36 or 37. Really? So I will definitely be out this weekend.
Yeah. Kudos. There you go. I haven't seen that. I don't follow the weather all that well
either. Oh, I do. Only this time of the year.
Yeah.
And I also started.
Well, I follow it, but I don't because it changes so much.
Oh, it does. Yes.
You know, and right now it's, I mean, today it hit 80, so.
It was yucky.
Yeah. Anywho, that's enough of the season. We'll get on to the actual episode, and I have a question for you on in reference to all that with loading deer into the truck. So remind me, I want to get to that.
Okay.
I have the entrepreneur in me is thinking and my wheels are spinning. So yeah.
Okay.
We'll see how that goes.
Fair enough.
Backwoods Bowhunter can be found at backwoodsbowhunter.com. Click on the shop link for Backwoods merch, or also on Facebook and Instagram at Backwoods Bowhunter Podcast. And then we have a community page. If you want to join our community, we're going to do some Q&A on the next episode. So tune in for that. And most of those questions, comments come from the community page at Major League Bowhunting. And you can contact us via email at backwoodsbowhunterpodcast@gmail.com. And as we close out the season, this episode of the season, I should say.
Ain't closing the season yet,
damn it.
Closing
it all out. No, this episode.
Just this episode.
Grab your bow and get after it.
Get your kids out.
Thanks for listening to another Backwoods Bowhunter episode. Didn't get enough? Climb down out of your tree stand and get ready for another epic episode next week. The Backwoods Boys will take you back downrange for more bow hunting content.